Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Inner Voice Intuitive Hour with your host, Jenny Seek.
Hi, folks. This is Jenny Seek, and this is your weekly forum for connecting with your intuitive process, all things metaphysical, and honoring and recognizing your soul self. Thanks for tuning in, and enjoy the ride.
Hi there, everybody. Thanks so much for tuning into Inner Voice Intuitive Hour this Tuesday. So glad that you're here. For folks who have never listened to Inner Voice Intuitive Hour before, who are newbies, I just want to tell you a little bit about it. This is a show, a forum for folks who are interested in connecting with their deep intuition, connecting with their heart-centered intuition, what some call a felt sense. An idea of what it is we're meant to do while we're here, how we're meant to share our gifts, and how we're meant to live our lives. Often we, because of our culture, have a tendency to not listen to our deep inner voice and to our connectedness around this. We have a tendency to listen to outside voices about what it is we're supposed to do, and so sometimes our lives get off track from what it was we came here to do and what we were meant to share. A great way to understand better what we're meant to do is to listen to our unconscious, right? Listen to our dreams. Pay attention to the energies we have when we're out walking in the four sacred elements, earth, air, fire, and water, when we're connecting with nature, when we're connecting with art and creativity, when we're connecting with people that we love. That's a great way to tell what it is we're meant to do, what it is we're meant to share in our lives. And sometimes we're just meant to share our energy, and sometimes we have a big idea about what we're meant to share. But whether we're here to just share our energy in the moment and share our connection with each other, or we have a big idea about what we're meant to share, we bump up against each other and we get to mirror each other and figure out who we're aligned with and who we want to share our energies with and to who we want to help our relationships grow with in our life. So, and a great way to connect with those energies is to connect with our deep imagination. So if those topics are of interest to you, if you've been going along in your day and kind of feeling disconnected or wondering what the point is, you're in for a real treat tonight, because the show is all about listening to those things. And I feel that when people listen to the show, they actually get more guidance. And hopefully when they're going through their busy day and their busy world, remember about the opportunity to connect with this felt sense, to connect with our intuition, to connect with this deep sense of meaning about what it is we're here to share, to connect with our deep, innate, soulful energies. So I hope that the show helps you to do that and helps you to clarify for yourself what that's all about for you and helps you to feel more comfortable on your journey as you're doing that. That is why I do the show. I do want to encourage anyone who's listening tonight to share your pretty shiny picture on the page and follow the show so that you'll know what's coming up in the future. I do also want to share the fact that I'm lucky enough to do this show for Iggy Garcia and with Insights Radio, and I've been doing it now for 3 years. There are some other people who also are doing shows on this channel, and I want to make sure that they're mentioned. Mato Sasquatch does a wonderful and very quirky and interesting show around midnight, and I think that's on Saturday night, all about his way of engaging the world. And he's a wonderful writer, and he's a wonderful speaker, so I encourage you to check out his show. Heather Tapia's Entrepreneurial Hour is all about women and men who are starting in heart-based businesses and wanting to grow them and really wanting to trust that journey in themselves and wanting support and wanting ideas. And then Iggy and his sister Rosa do a show called With Insights Radio, which is all about connecting with metaphysical topics, connecting with your intuition, connecting with your guides. So it really is a wonderful, wonderful channel with some wonderful programs. So do check out With Insights Radio, and so glad that you're here. I do want to share what's coming up on future shows with you, because we have some really cool stuff coming up here on May 21st. Bonnie Chavez and Brad Tesh will be on sharing their book, which I am holding in my hands, called Seek Joy, Toss Confetti. I just received it in the mail today. I can't wait to read it. It's called Seek Joy, Toss Confetti, Cue the Singing Teapot. And it is all about a wonderful spiritual conversation they have back and forth about how to feel real heart-centered joy in our lives. I just have gotten to talk with Brad some about his experiences recently in his life. We've gotten to be a little bit closer, and he has shared with me some information about publishing, which, if you're out there, Brad, listening, thank you so much for all of the wonderful information that you shared. You're making the journey feel so much more easy and familiar to me. Anyway, I'm so excited to have them on the show. I've had Bonnie Chavez on the show before. She does wonderful tarot work. She has a marvelous blog. She supports a lot of people in this community who are interested in tarot cards and tarot card reading and what that's all about. She's written a book, which I don't have the information about right now, but I think it's about spreads, if that's right. So do check out her work. Do check out Brad Tesh's wonderful work as well. And then, let's see here, on May 28th, I will have Beth Martins on. Beth is working with Tom Lesher, who is an evolutionary astrologer. He does wonderful work. He's traveled all over the world recently, and she's doing what's called a Break Free Festival, which is all about people talking and sharing their stories about how they figured out what it was they wanted to do in this life, how they figured out how they wanted to spend their time. And when I say wanted to do, I mean I'm doing a bunch right now, but that isn't to say that whatever it is we're here to share is worthwhile, right? Sometimes for some of us on our karmic journey, that is about getting deeply centered and sharing our communication and our connection with each other. For some, it's about building a business and creating a venture around that. It's a lot of different things for a lot of different people, and we are a culture that focuses so much on the doing. As a matter of fact, I probably struggle with that end of it, with the stopping doing, the being present in the moment and allowing heart-centered joy to filter in as I'm trying to accomplish all of these things. So I really do want to emphasize that sometimes it isn't on what you're supposed to do, but on just how you share your energy and how you choose to be in the world. So I really do want to emphasize that, because some of the most healing individuals that I've been around recently don't have a big thing that they're meant to do in the world. They're meant to share their energy, and they're meant to share their energy from a grounded, inspired place. And sometimes it's not about building a whole bunch of stuff. So we have to remember that we all have different versions and visions of what it is we're meant to do and how we're meant to share our energies. So a diverse connection with that is always a really, really great thing to have. So that is what's coming up on Inner Voice in the very near future. I also am partnering with a wonderful, wonderful group of individuals on Facebook with the Intuitive Light Community. I encourage you to check that out as well. You can just go to the Intuitive Light Community and you can post anything that you want there. We encourage people to post any pictures, any kinds of art that they do, anything like that. We just had a fishbowl this weekend, which was really a lot of fun and helped build support for people's businesses. We will do that again. We encourage you to on your own journey about that as well. And so the page is for people, though, who are looking to develop their own intuition and have questions about developing their intuition. It isn't primarily for sharing business sorts of things and that sort of thing. But we will have another fishbowl, which is specifically for that. So look for that in the future, and do check out the Intuitive Light community. I think we're about 630 strong now. Also check out With Insights Radio, withinsights.com. That is Iggy's page on Facebook. It's so wonderful to be such a part of all these wonderful light workers and wonderful energy workers, and it's starting to grow in a lot of different ways, and I would say that it is so cool how it's growing, because I don't really have my finger on it. You know, I'm not really sure how it's going to grow next, and I never could have imagined that the Intuitive Light community would have taken off about 3 months ago now, or 2 months ago now. I was contacted, a friend who had heard my show, and then I had been on their show, just said, hey, do you want to do this? And I'm usually a little bit on the cautious side when it comes to working with groups of folks, but this just felt like full steam ahead. So I just said, all right, I'm along for the ride. So it's been a lot of fun. It's been a lot of fun to develop that community and those connections. I do want to share what this show is about today. We're going to talk tonight about spontaneous healing. Me and a friend who I went to, the school I went to, Pacifica, we get to be really, really good friends there and colleagues to a certain extent. We are getting ready to write a book on the law of attraction. We are taking a course right now, and we decided that we want to do more of a workbook kind of a thing. And we really want to focus on the idea of limiting beliefs, where that shows up in your life, and how sometimes when you haven't had those limiting beliefs in your life, you can manifest with more ease. Sometimes information about the law of attraction leaves people feeling like there are those people who can manifest and there are those people who can't. And in our book that we're writing, we want to make sure that people realize that we all are manifestors. We all have different ways of manifesting energy, because just because our culture reinforces this bigger, better, faster, more idea of big ticket items and this sort of thing, which there's nothing wrong with that, but it doesn't mean that we don't all manifest in our own way. So today I'm going to talk a little bit about that idea, and I'm also going to talk about spontaneous healing, which is probably the way that I have been able to manifest most readily, the most easily, and the most clearly in my life. So when we go to manifest, it's really, really important that we have single-pointed focus, right? That we really, really are clear about the fact that things may not come out exactly when we want them to, but that we're really consistent with seeing, feeling that connection with what it is we're wanting to bring into our environment. On a quantum level, our body does not understand the difference between our imagination and reality. So if we can see in our mind's eye, right, with clear voyance, hear with our inner ear, with clear audience, feel with our whole body, our whole emotional connection and our body center with clairsentience, just be in that place of knowing with clairaudience, and I don't think I missed any, then we really, really feel closer to what it is we're trying to bring into the fore, what we're trying to manifest. It's really, really important that as we're doing this, we don't create any conditions on it. We don't say it has to show up in this amount of time in this way, but that we're more excited and more inspired about the opportunity to manifest it, the connection with it, the feeling of seeing it manifest in life. And the thing about it is, when things manifest, they manifest in synchronistic ways, what Jung calls the synchronicity principle. They manifest in that way often before they manifest in a literal physical way. So if you're going along and you're focused on things coming in a literal physical way, you may miss many of the wonderful, amazing cues about things coming closer to you. If you're connected with the synchronicity principle, you'll notice these magical happenings, this quickening energy around what it is you're working to manifest. And that's a great way to connect with, to do what I call connecting the breadcrumbs, or following the breadcrumbs down the path to the candy cottage, to whatever it is that you're trying to get to. So I encourage you to do that. That happens with song lyrics. That happens with sometimes yesterday I was walking along and I was trying to make a choice about something and trying to do it and honoring my own terms. And right at that very moment I looked down and there was a coin there on the ground that had been that had had the face of it kind of wiped off, like something like a vehicle had driven over it. And I think it's a penny, although it's kind of, it's very, very flat. And to me, that was a sign that I don't need to pay attention to the face of something, but just to the actual feeling of it, because I can't really tell. It looks like a cross between a nickel and a penny. It's flat. But the point is that when I looked down, it was there right when I was saying that, right when I was building that energy in my body and that connection with feeling about what it is I'm supposed to do and how I'm supposed to do it. And I looked down, and here's this gift from this the universe, this reminder that I'm on the right track. So if we can stay in a place of curiosity and a place of excitement about what we're bringing about in our lives, then we're not in a place where we feel entitled or needy. When we get into the places where we feel entitled or needy, where we have deep emotionally unmet needs or wounds, it's harder for us to materialize things. It's harder for us to play in the possibility and the curiosity of manifestation, which requires us to be in a positive place, which is a choice-based place. It's about, I mean, we all wake up, we are all frustrated sometimes about what's going on in our lives, but if we focus on the positive, and we can do this by just shifting our energy, very, very choosing to shift our energy, that's about awareness. That's about saying, okay, I'm aware and I'm choosing to shift my energy away from what maybe being in my space right now and into a place of the positive, into the place of the possible. And when we do that on a biochemical level, we change the energy inside us. We change things on a quantum level. We change what is possible for us. So single-pointed focus is a great way to do it. It's if you guys have ever read The Course in Miracles, they talk a lot about the idea of single-pointed focus, or at least when I took the course, I took part of the course, the gentleman that I took the course from talked about single-pointed focus. If you make a pie chart for yourself and you're working on manifesting something and you look at all the areas of your life, you look at your career, you look at your relationship with your children, you look at your relationship with your spouse, you look at how you spend your leisure time, you look at your health. If you can find a way to bring what it is you want to manifest into a conversation about all of those different parts of your life and be reminded, so it becomes kind of how your energy flows or what your energy and attention is on, then you've developed a single-pointed focus. That dream, that intention, that desire is coming into every part of your life, and it can't help but not be met. What happens is we get caught into when, how, these sorts of smaller questions which splice the energy up, and then we don't notice that the momentum is being created because we get sidetracked in these littler questions which are not really where the energy is, and we don't know when the energy will manifest. But if we're paying attention to the signs, if we're talking to our guides, if we're talking to, if we're connecting with our animal totems, if we're doing our ritual, if we're doing this sort of magical practice, things materialize because we're in a place of positivity, we're in a place of possibility, and at a quantum level, we're in a different place inside ourselves. So in terms of my own life, one of the places, and I just realized this working on this material the other day, that I've really been able to manifest very, very well is in terms of healing, in terms of healing my body. And I think that sometimes when we have limiting beliefs, right, from our culture, from our family, that's when we get caught in a backstory about what is true for us. And we don't allow ourselves to stay in this place of the authentic self or the soul self. We don't allow ourselves to play in this wonderful place about what our own vision looks like. And when we do that, we can get caught up in telling a story that really isn't our own. It really isn't what we're meant to be doing in our lives and sharing with the world. So in my own journey, in my family of origin, when I would get sick as a child, my family would just kind of, you know, I would be in a bedroom or whatever. The door would always be closed. And I wasn't really in the family dynamic. They would bring me tea or whatever I needed, toast. But they didn't really engage me in any way. So on an unconscious level, I thought, it isn't okay for me to be in my body. It isn't okay for me to connect with my sense of healing in that way. And so because I wasn't really given any stories growing up about health and healing, like I don't remember ever hearing anything about it, I was able to create my own belief system about health and healing. And so my belief system is a lot about spontaneous healing. It's a lot about this idea that when we want to manifest something, when we see it clearly in our mind's eye, that's when we bring it into the fore and when our bodies can be healthy again. There's a wonderful book by Andrew, well, he wrote a book called Spontaneous Healing, and he's written many, Andrew Weil. And he talks about this idea that it is about the idea of what healing means to us that is the center of the question about whether or not we can be healed. I was just talking to my friend today, who's a naturopath in Seattle. Her name's Kimberly Kalfas, if you're in Seattle and looking for an amazing naturopath. Anyway, about this whole idea of spontaneous healing. And she even mentioned this man to me who shared a story at the spiritualist church, the spiritual life community, about his own journey with healing. He was in a hospital. He had stage 3, I think, cancer. And I think that's right. And he was really, you know, they were working with him and everything like that. And then all of a sudden, he had it for a while, and it wasn't abating. And they started having a conversation with him about, you know, what's realistic, what can be expected. And this just took the energy and life out of him. It took the desire to live out of him, and he had to sidestep that whole notion of what can be true in terms of the body in order to heal himself. Now he's a public speaker, and I actually am going to get his name for you because I can't wait to look him up as well, and she just gave that to me today. So let me give that to you. His name is Terry McBride, and he has an amazing story to tell all about health and healing and what is potentially possible in terms of your own health and in terms of your own healing. So I encourage you to check out his story as well. In terms of my own journey, because I didn't grow up with any kind of, you know, ideas about what could be, I created my own ideas, and I've had several very amazing healing experiences in my life. When I was in my late 20s, I was working at an elementary school here, and I was an instructional assistant. And I started developing these heel spurs, which were incredibly painful. And I didn't know what they were at the time. And I think I lived with them for about 3 months. And then I started going to a podiatrist. I got cortisol shots for one of my feet, and I refused to get them for the other because I just didn't feel right putting that stuff in my body. And I was getting ready to go out to California to do my master's work in counseling, and I just started saying to myself, I believe that these heel spurs will disappear. I believe that when I get to California, they won't be here anymore. I won't need this medication anymore. And I would say it every day, right? It was single-pointed focus. It came into every aspect of my life. I told my partner at the time. I talked about it in terms of the people that I was with at my job. I thought about it when I was going to my job. I brought it into conversation when I was doing leisure things. I meditated on the idea. Now, I wasn't like, if this doesn't happen, I don't know what I'm going to do, you know, and that's when we start to get attention for a lack. That's when we start to play a victim role, and we start to expect it to be mirrored in our lives back to us. I wasn't in that place. I was just excited because I knew that it was going to come to pass. And I even talked to my podiatrist at the time, and I said, I don't know what you think about this, but I want you to work with me on this. And I was taking Vioxx, and then I went to taking Celebrex. And I took it for about a year and a half, and then I asked my podiatrist to taper it off, and I would talk to him about my meditations. And I completed that experience of taking those medications and went to California, and I think I still have a bottle somewhere of Celebrex. The pain has never come back now. I mean, sometimes I will get phantom pains, which are associated with, inflammation and things like that. There are things that I can do around juicing and things like that so that I don't have these inflammation pains. But I call them phantom pains because, right, that enables me to realize that they don't have to be my normal state of existence. So the heel spurs went away, and they went away because I had that single point of focus, because I believed that they would, because I imagined, I had a little scenario. I was like, when I walk on the beach, I'm going to be able to walk barefoot, and it isn't going to hurt my feet because these, I don't need the environment that created these. Then I did end up coming back to Columbus, where I live, and a real good indicator of whether or not the spontaneous healing that you've done has really, really worked is when you walk in the space, walk in the environment where the malady was developed. And I was scared. I remember being scared to walk around the same environment, the same streets, walk down the same streets where I had experienced the pain before. But that's really a good indicator about how much the pain has abated. So I walked and I said, I don't need to, and nothing that supported this infection, this medical issue in me needs spoken to, needs opened now. This is a closed chapter in my life. This is done. And I do believe it is because I never was given any ideas about what was true that I was able to do this. I was never given any ideas in my family about what was true. It was just kind of a void. Then I also had an experience about a year and a half later where I was walking on black ice. I didn't realize I was walking on black ice. It was the middle of the winter, and I was walking from my job to meet a friend at a restaurant, and I didn't realize I was on black ice. You know, you can't see it. And I fell on it, and, of course, I went to brace my fall, and my elbow, I fell hard, and my elbow came out of its socket, entirely out of its socket. Ironically, I was going to meet the friend that I just told you about, the naturopath, and she looked at it, and she said, oh, Jenny, your elbow's out of the socket, you know, and I was in such pain. And I got on the ambulance with the ambulance drivers, and I said, I'm just going to do this thing. I'm just going to do this thing. And I just meditated. I went inside myself. I saw the elbow recorrecting itself inside of my body. And I set the intention. And by the time I got to the hospital, it wasn't out of the socket anymore. It was still in pain. I still had to have a splint, but it was not out of the socket. So I was able to move it back into position and align it for myself. I had another experience like that, walking down the street. I fell very, very hard, and I had a huge pain. I remember putting my hand on it and just reminding myself how healing my hands could be, because I was afraid at that point, I was a little bit afraid there, that I would really, really be hurt. And I felt the pain move out of me. And go away. The other thing I wanted to share is around the heel spur issue. I told my dad, and my dad said to me, that's your dancing partner. And I said, what do you mean, my dancing partner? And he said, oh, you'll have those heel spurs for the rest of your life. And that was the indicator to me that I had to do something different because I was not going to have the heel spurts for the rest of my life. That wasn't acceptable to me in any way, shape, or form. And that's when I thought, what can I do so this isn't true? And I don't know how it is exactly that I grew up in that household and didn't have these sorts of beliefs around, you know, the idea that pain was something that we just had to live with. Because actually in my family of origin, my family is very, very about the idea of aging and the idea that aging and chronological aging is a very, very, very real thing, that our bodies go downhill, that there's nothing we can do about it. And so I'm not quite sure how it happened that I didn't have any ideas about this, but I didn't. A matter of fact, I remember also, you know, when I was in, I guess I was in my 30s, and my father wanted me to focus a lot on the pain that he was feeling in his back, and he would do these exercises in a very, very stringent kind of fixed way where he just looked in pain when he was doing the exercises. And I said to him, you know, you may want to send energy to your body about fluidity and about, and he was just like, no, 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 you don't understand this pain I'm experiencing. And he really wanted me to endorse that pain for him, to say, oh, of course you have that pain. Of course you have that pain. And I'm so sorry you have that pain. And he said, you'll understand when you're older, which, I mean, I think probably some of these things are a little bit true, and maybe I should have had a little more empathy in this situation. But the point is still the same, and the point is that when we choose to go into this victim place in ourselves, and I don't care really what kind of issue it is that you have, I believe that we have to go into a place of empowerment in ourselves in order to heal. We have to get excited about our journey. We have to get invested in our own empowerment and our own idea of what healing looks like and our own truth. I have a friend who was just talking about the placebo effect recently and saying that they loved presenting classes on the placebo effect, because the placebo effect, if we believe it can work, has the capacity to work. And I really, really believe that. On my own journey, I've noticed that when I get excited about some sort of healing idea, I don't resent it, I'm not frustrated with it, but I get really, really excited with the potential for it. That is when things really, really start to turn around. So I encourage you in your own lives to look and to see if things feel like they turn around for you when you get excited about the idea of your own healing, about your longevity, about getting to tell the story on your own terms. Because I encourage you to notice that often when you get to tell the story on your own terms, that's when your healing really, really takes place. And that's when your healing takes place, not just in terms of the body, although that's very, very true, but also in terms of the emotions. When we get to tell our story from that healing place on our own terms, right, we get to say, it's called reframing in psychology, when we get to say, you know, maybe it was really, really good that this happened because it enabled me to be able to do this. So instead of hearing the story from people's idea of what is true that may be disempowering to us, we get to tell it in a way that empowers us. Then we're actually able to start to heal. Just to, you know, regurgitate the story, which is often what in traditional kinds of psychotherapy happens. People just tell the story again and again and again. The therapist says, well, you know what you have to do. And there isn't any of this engaging with the idea of the purpose of why something happened, the gift that happened within that purpose, how the story opens and closes, how the story is told differently. And when there is that engagement, and when the client gets to tell the story, whether it's a story about their body in terms of, you know, juicing or taking a certain vitamin or learning about colloidal silver or whatever it is, or whether it's a story that they're telling in terms of their psychology, something that happened to them, when they get to be empowered and they get excited about what will work for them, that's when they start to heal. That's when we start to heal. And that's also when we'll start to heal as a culture. You know, when instead of being in a place of victimization or abandonment, like with some of these issues, you know, like fracking or, Monsanto, these sorts of things. A lot of people are spending time right now going away from telling these larger stories or getting invested in what is happening because they believe that in order to do that, they have to stay in a place that's uncomfortable. So they would rather ignore that it's happening. Or they're getting caught up in victimization, you know, like, what can we do? What can we do? There's nothing we can do, you know, this sort of thing. When we get in these places in ourselves, these defenses in ourselves, we don't allow ourselves to heal. But when we start to have a collective conversation about, well, what can we do? What can we do to grow our own vegetables? I just was delighted to have a conversation with a lady on Facebook today who's going to start to create her own beehives, is looking for a place to do that and going to make her own honey so that she can have healthy bees and so she can have healthy honey that isn't fed sugar water. And more power to her. I'm so excited to see that venture come forward and see what she's able to do there. But when we start to have these conversations, these collective conversations about how we can heal our planet, how we can compost, how we can take care of our own health, how we can, you know, use oils and how we can make teas and things like this, we start to have a conversation about empowering ourselves on our journey, in our lives. Also, with chronology, you know, in my family of origin, I remember when I was, I was a very little girl, and I remember the Christmas tree, and my dad would look up at it and say, you know, basically, it was all lit up for Christmas, and he would say, you know, I'm feeling older, and he was in his mid-30s or something. So age and the idea of age was something that really, really got a lot of play, a lot of ear in our family of origin. And it's something that I still struggle with, I guess, on my own journey, is this idea that we're either old or young. We know when we're in a place where we're creating a black and white way of thinking that we're not in a place that's fluid in ourselves. We're not allowing ourselves to be in that place of possibility, in that place of connection, in that place of magic, in that place of moving the unconscious forward into the conscious. Where when we're in a black and white place, and I know for myself in terms of chronology, I'm sometimes in a black and white place. You know, I either went to water aerobics and I'm feeling young and I'm feeling sprightly and I have a lot of energy to do projects, or I'm feeling old and I didn't go to water aerobics and I didn't do the things I was supposed to do and I'm on my deathbed. And I know, and I'm not on my deathbed, of course, but I feel old inside. I feel not as hopeful. And I know that my family really reinforced on an unconscious level that story in my growing up. So I really have to get around energies that are more youthful, energies that are more creative, and I have to remind myself that it's our birthright to feel good. It's our birthright to find connections and ways of healing ourselves and ways of connecting with things that are empowering and creative to us so that we can live lives that are healthy on our own terms. Certainly we change as we age, but that are healthy. So we have a definition of what it is to be healthy at all the points during our lifespan, whether we're, you know, a spring chickadee really, really young, or whether we're 70, you know, we have things that work for us. We have tools that we use. I remember having a conversation with my mother recently, who has a lot of joint pain, about using cherry juice, because they've proven that black cherry, I drink a lot of black cherry juice, helps with the joints. It helps to heal pain in the joints and helps to heal arthritis to a certain extent. And I remember that was a hard conversation to have, because just wasn't very open to that idea. Didn't believe it, didn't think it was possible, didn't think it was something. And I knew that after we'd had the conversation that it's not something that she would likely do. But if we have a conversation with someone who is open, who is flexible, who is interested in coming up with ideas, then we are re-energized in our lives. So that is what I have to share with you this evening. I do want to let you know that for CBUS folks, I'm getting geared up and getting excited about teaching Inner Voice Intuitive Tarot classes again this summer. I think they'll be a lot of fun. They're archetypal, spiritual. They're designed to empower you and tailored toward your own unique intuition and how it grows. So I, as your instructor, look at that and figure out if you're clairsentient, claircognizant, if you're into numerology, if you're into the elements, and really tailor the class toward people's unique gifts. I also teach the classes on Skype, private lessons on Skype as well. So if that's something that you're interested in, do check it out on innervoiceintuitive.com. And I'm trying to think if there's anything else to share this evening or if that was pretty much what I had up my sleeve. I think that's everything this evening. So I encourage you to think about your health and healing differently. I encourage you to notice where, first of all, I encourage you to notice where in manifestation you've been good, either where in your life you were very, very empowered and it was easy to manifest, at what time in your life, or around what issue, what idea. Have you been really, really good at finding relationships that meet your needs? Have you been really, really good at spontaneous healing? Have you been really, really good at finding jobs that are a good fit? So you notice in terms of this pie chart where it is that you are an excellent manifester and where it is that you aren't, and then possibly look at your limiting beliefs that you were given around that idea in your growing up years, in your cultures, in your families, in your earlier jobs, in your formative experiences. So I encourage you to do that, and I encourage you to notice what it feels like to manifest, what it feels like to hold the intention of manifestation over a period of time, what it feels like to get around people who will support your vision of manifestation. So I encourage you to do all of those things. I'm going to sign off a little bit early because this is what I have to share this evening. Go whatever you do between now and next week, go and make magic, feel magic, inspire magic, create magic, connect with magic. That's what we're here for. Dar Williams is going to take us out with the blessings. This is a song all about noticing the power of synchronicity. Enjoy.
My name says a full time fool. The joke is on me. I got all those birds flying off of the tree. That's lucky.
Have a great week. See you next week, next Tuesday at 7 o'clock Eastern Standard Time for the conversation with Bonnie Chavez and Brad Tesh, who will be sharing their wonderful book, Seek Joy, Toss the Confetti, Cue the Singing Teapot, all about connecting with your authentic joy. Take good care, everybody. Bye now.